Everybody ready? 1, 2, 3. Tech Show rules!
Eagles! Showtime!
It's the Little Thing Tech Show, and that's a fact. If you don't like the cats, you can get up your ass. Ain't no funny duddies that are linking bad. For the show, then go to recordtlsgs.org. And the IC channel is linuxx.net. Bound Tech Show. Just sit right there, cause the calendar's just about to begin.
Is that?
Boy.
The big?
Oh, boy.
The big?
I was expecting a longer intro for some reason. I don't know why.
Boy, no. We talked about this. Save some of that crap to the end.
Oh, I know that. It just comes up on you so quickly, all of a sudden.
But here we are.
Yeah, well, we don't even have any promos either.
Yeah.
Can you hear me, Alan?
Yes,
come.
I can.
The promos will come.
All right.
Episode 367, the official launch of the Linux Link Tech Show Season 2. Right, boys?
Year 2.
Woo-hoo. Boys and Dan. Official relaunch, and we have started out by one, starting the show late already, and number two, our guest has not shown up for the show, so we gonna wing it, baby.
Off to a
just
good
like
start.
Season one. Yeah, just like season one. However, I do want to bring to everybody's attention that I sound fantastic.
If you
right?
believe so.
Woo-hoo!
Yes, you do, man.
I mean, you know, a fantastic in person, but I actually, I believe, according to Alan anyway, and Dan, that you can actually hear me speak
yep.
this time on the show.
And you're not humming either.
And, and I just want to say that I owe that all to all of you guys bitching, and I actually stopped at Best Buy today and picked up an M-Audio Pro Tools recording studio.
Ooh.
Which is this nifty little USB Jim Jammy that you can plug your XLR mic into the back of, and it feeds everything through. So I'm coming at you through my wonderful Shure mic and this pretty cool Pro Tools recording studio M-Audio Fast Track doohickey bob.
When you say that, it sounds like it came with like a lot of proprietary software for Apple and Windows.
You know what it says on the front? Mac and PC. And it came with Pro Tools
Link,
M-powered
Link has a full
software.
Figured sound tonight.
Yeah. So I don't know what software it came with. Obviously, I'm using the Linux version of the software, which is pretty much plug it in and pick your damn audio interface and start talking.
That is the nice thing about the M-Audio ones. They all seem to work for, you know, at least this one, like I said, it was just plug and play.
Seems to work. That's all I did, just plug the damn thing in.
Does that by any chance have an optical SPDIF in on it?
It does not by any chance, no.
Okay.
it has a it has an XLR interface, and it has a jack where you can play your guitar into it.
Nope.
And it has outputs. And that's it.
I don't know about yours. Mine is two channel. So I don't know about yours, because I have separate inputs as well.
I'm looking for something that has optical in on it so that I can hook that up to my HD PVR to get 5.1 out of the out of that.
Well, that sounds cool.
Nope. For those people who are interested, you know, I will make the effort to find the appropriate website page for what this actually is and put it up on there, because it does seem to work. And you know, some days it's harder than others to find decent audio equipment that works and works well under Linux, and this appears to do so. So.
Yeah, you got to talk a little louder though, because you're starting to go a little mumbly soft.
You bite me.
How much was that again?
$100.
$100?
It was $100, yes.
$100. $100, baby.
Thanks. So you see, my level of commitment to the tech show.
It was too bad because we're kicking you off.
If it were me, Link, I would have been able to figure out a way to get it for nothing.
All right, here's the link.
Yeah,
right
but
there.
You do it for a show. You do it for a review thing. That's why.
Like my Blue Yeti. Which I have to add.
There's the
awesome
link right
mic
there. M Audio Pro Tools Recording Studio. It makes
nice.
A worky under Linux.
Sounds wonderful, Link. Bus powered too. Right?
Yeah, that's the best part. I really am happy about that because the last thing I wanted was to
another
have to come
adapter.
In and find another place to plug something in, you know?
So yet another wall wart.
Yep. That's why I like this blue one. I mean, the blue mic Yeti is a really awesome mic, too, and it just works with Linux, too.
See, now, I was looking for something like that, but I couldn't find anything over at, you know, well, my choices were somewhat limited at Best Buy, you know, so... I placed a quick call to Alan, and he decided for me that this was the way to go. Other than the, they have a $100 USB microphone that looked like it might work too. But
yeah, I want to get
this
the deal. I want to get the Mobile Pre that they have, which I believe has two XLR inputs.
Yeah, that's the one I use.
Yeah, I want one of those bad. Then I can hook up both my blue mics.
Yeah, M Audio makes good quality stuff, man, and it seems to be for the most part Linux friendly.
That's the one I'm using right there. Anyway.
So you guys fully recovered from your trip to Ohio?
I'm still tired. But I live here.
Dan, is your liver still bruised?
I blame Dave Yates, personally.
Oh, yeah.
I don't go so far.
He destroyed me. When I found out what he did to me that night, I realized why I was puking up things I didn't even realize I knew I ate. Holy mackerel.
Did you eat squid that night?
Did I eat what?
Yes, he did.
Squid.
Okay,
it certainly looked like it, you know, from me walking by the sink in the morning.
Oh, man.
That's bad.
And then brushing your teeth in that sink in the morning, huh?
Dan, you usually sleep on the floor. Did you sleep on the floor in the bathroom?
I ended up brushing my teeth by just, like, spitting into the garbage can. I couldn't go near
the sink. I brushed my teeth in the shower, which was... It was very convenient for that particular morning.
Yeah, just spit. Poor Dan. Well, Dan, I think he's learned a powerful lesson this time.
And what's that? Don't mix?
Nope. The next show left, he needs to do a presentation. That way he won't drink.
Pace yourself, right?
Don't be an idiot is what it is.
Poor Dan.
You know what, man? They were just handing out drink tickets right and left, too.
You had to go get them, though, Dan. It's just like they didn't come to you and hand them to you. You went over and got them.
How many t-shirts did you end up
All you had to do was just walk by them.
But you kept doing it.
With your hand out. They put them right in.
Well, then I gave you one, and I know Link gave you one.
I got some from Alan, too.
Probably.
Yeah, you got one for me as well.
Anyway.
I was trying to fill in the gap for Chad not being there.
Well, I think you did it.
In spades.
Righty.
So, other than that, I think OLF was fantastic, and I can't wait till next year.
You gonna make it to Self this year? you think, Joel?
Yep. Planning on it. I think Ed does definitely wants to do that again next year. So that'll be fun. I had a blast itself. Oh, and speaking of self and Dave Yates-y like things, oh my God, he had a lot of Linux Links podcasts this week.
Yeah. Came out yesterday, and I added a Speechcast a la Klaatu, and I didn't make the LinuxPlanet.org/cast page for some reason. I think I've been ostracized.
That was a shame. We looked all over for you, too.
He apologized, too. A lot.
Yeah, I also said there was 59 states in the union. I don't know why I did that. But I did.
Go to public school.
That's it.
59.
Yeah, I normally don't listen to my own podcast, but I listen to the Speaks file just to see how it sounded on the way to work today. And I did. I said there were 59 states. I don't know where that came from.
I would be interested to hear, you know, we should have a poll now to find out what the name of the extra states actually are.
They're Puerto Rico.
Canada?
Yeah.
Mexico?
U.S. Virgin Islands? Guam?
Yes, the state of Canada. United States of Canada.
Canada?
Well, then we'll probably also see
the country of Texas.
Of Quebec when they succeed. That is Quebec that keeps trying to secede from Canada, isn't it?
They haven't done it in a while.
Are they trying to annex themselves or something?
It's been a while since they tried. I think maybe like 20 years already.
Well, clearly it's time. They could join the United States.
United States of Europe. Oh, man. Speaking of Europe, the Linux Outlaws took a little break, too, didn't they?
Yes, they did.
Why
I thought
they
would have been back by
riding
now.
Our coattails? Yeah, I think I saw a new episode recently. Why do they always have to be at riding our coattails? Can't they do anything original?
I think they even brought that up, too.
That's the thing. I mean, everybody that's doing a Linux podcast at this point in time is riding our coattail.
You know? Except for one.
For whom? A
lot of Linux Links, Linux User Podcast. Because he does it in the car.
He's not writing our... Yeah, but I mean, like a Linux podcast in particular. Anybody that's doing that now is writing our coattail because... You know, we're the ones that have been doing it the longest and continually doing it. But I will say that Dave's podcast is an exception, and that's because Dave and his podcast are in the tech show family of podcasts,
yes,
which sort of legitimizes it, you know.
What Link said, yeah.
Like kissing the ring, you know.
Yeah.
Anyway. Why don't we start talking about something tech? Like,
we are going to talk about something tech. Because we're still on the topic of Linux podcasts, I want to make mention and congratulations out there to, crap, I can't remember his name now.
I can't remember who
Linux,
it is.
Linux Newslog. Linux podcast.
Oh,
Linux
that's
podcast.
Been going forever, man.
Yeah.
He's on show 1,108.
Is he really?
So, yes,
dude,
he is.
That is really some dedication right there. We need to get him on the show. And
yeah, we should have him on.
Yes, we do.
Yeah,
who else we should have on?
I know we have busted Russ on Woodman. Him in the past before, but, you know, he really is a trooper.
He is, and he does video, too, so he's got video up there. And
who is this?
Adrian. Is it Adrian Bacon?
I think
is that
so.
His name?
Bacon, yeah. Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Jonna's brother, huh? I doubt it, but...
But check him out. He has a AUG feed. He does MP3s. Got HD video, and he has Flash for YouTube. He's on YouTube, so.
He also does Windows log and Mac log.
Really?
Is it Mac log or is it Apple log?
Does he really? What
is that?
I forget.
Wow.
Yeah, he does. Hedging his bets.
That's a lot of podcasts. A lot of news.
Yeah, he does. I forget. I don't see the links. Oop, I'll tell you what. Here's some good advice before we get on to tech stuff. Because I know we want to talk about cooking stuff in upcoming episodes. Anytime that you are cooking and cutting up jalapenos, habaneros, always remember a few things. All right?
Do not
take your contacts out. And don't scratch your balls.
Oh, man.
Boy, does that really heat things up.
I guess the same would apply to your ass, too.
Yeah.
I guess so, but usually I don't scratch my ass.
Keep away from
with
your
my
offices.
Bare finger.
Right.
Because I got a sting fez going on the left side.
That was really stupid.
You're
going to remind me not to eat at your house now.
Seriously.
Well, I ate a little while ago, Alan. I didn't scratch my balls while I was cooking.
I sure as hell hope not.
Scratch it with the knife. That would be a stupid thing to do.
What's a scratch of a
ball? Anyway, Joel, who were you saying we also have to get on the show?
Russ Woodman from Linux in the Ham Shack. I really think we should get him on here because, you know what, I listened to both his...
All right, hold on a second, Joel. Joel, you really got to turn yourself up a little bit there because you are like...
No, just talk
at
the mic. Just
talk in the microphone. Either.
Yeah, I'll talk on the mic. Yeah, no,
that's better.
I listened to Russ on Linux in the Ham Shack, and both Linux in the Ham Shack and his QSK cast. And I have to say, man, good stuff. He does a great job.
Yeah,
and
I really,
really cool
it too.
Talking to him. Yeah. QSK cast rocks. I can't believe I've gone this long without listening to him, but man, I love it. I actually really like the one he did with Cheryl, his girlfriend, about the handicapped access issues. I mean, that was really good.
I thought that was his wife.
Yeah, no, they're not married yet.
Oh.
They're engaged.
Isn't he in the IRC?
At least according to Facebook.
How many years?
Yeah, I don't know.
There is a thing as a common law wife if they've been together for like forever.
Depends on what state you live in.
Yeah. Anyway.
Some states do common law, some states don't.
Yep.
Go ahead.
I'm sorry.
Go ahead.
I was going to say, did you fill out a survey for OLF too?
No.
No. They're still giving away, they're giving away a Palm Pre Plus if you do that.
I don't want a Palm Pre, so I don't care.
Anyway. Sorry for that.
I didn't see any survey.
Yeah. Because
you were drunk.
Yeah.
But how would you know, Dan? You weren't even there.
I know. I just heard about it after the fact.
Just take the survey. Right on the
front
page.
Wait, isn't the survey online, though?
Yeah, it is.
The whole survey, though, isn't it? I didn't think there was, like, any paper surveys or anything there.
No, it's all online.
Okay.
Did you post that in the IRC?
I can. So.
The hack guys weren't there, right?
I didn't see them.
I didn't see them if they were.
Yeah, they were supposed to
be
there.
Talk into the mic, Joel. Did you stand?
No, I didn't see them.
Did you see the hack guys at OLF?
If they were there, they didn't come up to the table.
Where's Fry? Where's Man Fry?
I'm here. I wasn't there.
Man Fry.
I'm wondering what you're asking me for.
Man Fred. Man Fry.
Back to sleep, Dan.
Link,
no, I heard him. I just was wondering why he was asking
me. I met
me.
The other Dan for asking that question.
Link, you're about to add something to the conversation that we were currently involved in before Joel changed the subject
again?
Yeah,
we were talking about people, you know, who we were going to have on the show, and I wanted to make quick mention of some upcoming guests for people to check out beforehand. The one that I wanted to bring attention to really quick was Stephen Lake. And he's going to be on the show October 6th. The reason I wanted to bring him up kind of early is because he's an author, and he's a really good author. He does some cool sci-fi stuff, and he's also a Linux kind of guy. We're going to have him on October 6th, and that gives you enough time to go out and grab a book or two of his and check it out, get some questions ready for him. I'm going to post a couple of his links on the IRC now. The first one is realmsofimagination.net. That's got links and information about all of his books that he's written and stuff. And the other one is raiden.net, which is a Linux site that he's involved with, which is actually pretty good stuff. So, you know, check that stuff right out. We're going to hear from him on October 6th. Hopefully, he actually shows up. As we had an issue today with our guest not being here for some reason, and it would be nice if we had some people or something. Right?
I agree with you.
Where the crickets.
Of course, then we got Jeff Porter in November.
And this is the Earth Fleet stuff. This guy wrote the Earth Fleet stuff.
Oh, yeah.
Wildly popular sci-fi goodies.
Cool.
One of our tech show buddies has been chomping at the bit for us to get this guy on the show for, you know, months now, so. He's coming.
What's the first book that you recommend reading? Or do you, what do you say start with?
I haven't read any of them yet, so. I would just check that site out. He's got a whole bunch of them listed. I wonder if they're listed in order or what. He did give us two books to give away at the, you know, I met him at the OLF this year, and he gave us two books to give away during the raffle. So there's some
really
of us
cool
out there who actually have them already.
And sadly, I think only one of the guys that won the book actually got it signed. I think he only signed one of them, because that was the other person that won the book actually left early. So
grab their stuff.
At least that's all. I saw him. I think he only signed one of them, even though he said he was would sign both of them if they wanted it.
I may have to read one of those, but.
Oh, okay, well, apparently, according to the expected release dates, I would assume that he'd be releasing them in order that they should be read, and Empire Rising would be first, although, I don't know. No, wait a minute. The Orc Perimeter,
well,
Death's
oddly enough,
Mission, Homeworld are not being released that I see, so maybe those are the ones you start with, or they've already been released.
But I don't know. Excuse me.
Oh, you can get an ebook of it. The Orc Perimeter ebook free. Sweetness. Because I'm all about reading on the Android
better
these days.
Yeah.
And then Destiny's
Mission.
Purchase a
copy of this book for $12, I see. How do you get a free one?
Is that the one that he gave us to give away? Was it the Orc Perimeter, if I'm not mistaken?
He gave us the Orc Perimeter and I think Destiny's Mission.
Okay, because Orc Perimeter is book one of the Earth Fleet Saga. So I better get reading that for before he comes on. I got to finish the 120
Days
of Sodom first.
Where do you find the free ebook? That's what I want to know.
Go over to... Are you on his website?
Oh, okay, see, attached files. Yeah.
Well, no, I went and clicked over on the right-hand side under Earth Fleet. It said the Oort Perimeter. You click on that and you go down
right
to the bottom
the,
and it has attached files, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, you're looking
right
the same
the
place
IRC.
I am.
Yep. Right in the IRC, there's a zip down there. Everybody should grab that and read that before we get Steven on the show. That way we can ask him lots of questions.
Yeah. What you said, man.
And who else do we got coming on? Steven J. Von Nichols. Next week, I hope.
Next week.
And Christoph Laputka.
Yep.
Right, Pat, you added him in there?
Yep.
Leviathan
from
Chronicles?
Yep, there's a guy who does the Leviathan Chronicles, which is a really cool patio book.
I'm going to have to listen to that
It's one. Really good. It's a cross between, think, a Highlander and The Abyss. Cross between those two.
Cool. Nice. I'll have to put that right on my...
It's really good. The production is awesome on that.
To it.
It's very well done. They record the episode at Silver Cup Studio, which is a really big TV movie studio in New York City. They used to do The Sopranos there, a bunch of other shows too. And he's got like really, really talented people doing the reading and stuff. It's like a whole production. It's really good. I highly recommend people check that out.
Sweet. Have to do that. And then we got a few free shows going on in there, and then we end up with Jeff Porter Cooking for Geeks, which looks like a really cool book. I got to flip through a couple pages. Joel brought it in. I get to flip through a couple pages. It's pretty cool. I'm going to have to go out and buy that one, too.
Yep. Support them. Support them.
And
yeah,
that.
That's a really cool guy.
In there, guys, so we need some good ideas for, yes, if we have any. The rest of you guys that are listening, you have any special requests for guests, people that we need to get back on the show that we've had on before, new people that you're interested in hearing from, by golly, send us
what
some email and let us know so we can try and make that
mute
happen.
Yourself.
Right?
It's not me, because
I think that's the other
Dan. Scratching his nails again with them nasty pepper and
anyway,
fingers.
Now that we're still on books, well, just finished up books, I should say, O'Reilly kind of messed up a little bit. They were supposed to send us some books for OLF. But because that happened, you guys that are listening today get an opportunity to get a free ebook from O'Reilly. They sent me a code and a link. Yeah. And there's the link. I pasted the link in there. You must be registered with O'Reilly Media on their website, and go in there, get yourself a free ebook. Cooking for Geeks is included in that, and a whole bunch of other ones. And what's cool is I actually went through and did this in on Cooking for Geeks. It's available as an APK for your Android phone, so it's an application.
Oh, that's cool.
So
really,
yes. You can get your ebooks as an application.
Question for you, sir. How have you gone through it?
I did.
E-book at all?
I did.
The ebook?
I did.
Yes.
I got the EPUB format, which is what El Dico format by default.
Actually, I downloaded both EPUB or the APK and the MOBI file. I downloaded both of them. You can download any of the formats. It doesn't matter. They're all not.
Right.
Fixing you into a format.
Yeah,
okay,
if you buy it,
question.
If you buy it in O'Reilly, and then you go into El Dico, and then you go into the O'Reilly section in El Dico, you should see your purchase in there, and you can pull it down.
Oh, cool.
Anyway. Right, my question for you, Joel
yes,
Pat, sir. Is there any issues with the table layouts in this book? Because I purchased it for the Kindle, and some of those tables are like, they're still in columns, but it's like crunched together where each word is only like two letters on a line. And sometimes there's like three to four letters on a line, but it cuts off this last two. Do you have any of those table issues?
I've not seen that. I have two books that I got through there.
Did you get APKs though, Pat?
No, I got EPUB.
Okay. I didn't see any. I've looked at the APK on my Droid 2, and I didn't really see any problems with tables. In fact, it looked pretty good. I didn't quite. I might actually try the Mobi on my phone to see if it works any better in Aldeco, either Aldeco or I think the Android. Well, Android, I think you can read that in the Kindle app on the Android, but I also loaded the Mobi on my Kindle and it worked just great. So it doesn't look like it has any specific DRM on it either. So anyway, free ebook from O'Reilly. Thanks you to O'Reilly.
Awesome.
And since we're on the subject of contests, right? One of the other things that we did not get in time for OLF this year was a Neuros Link, and we have sitting in my living room right now a version 1 Neuros Link that is hopefully ready and waiting to go. I know I have to reflash the USB on there for you guys, but we have a version 1 Neuros Link that we're going to give away as a contest here on the show. All you have to do to win this is you have to send us an email to contest@tllts.org. That's contest@tllts.org. Please send your name and address. There's a whole pile of people that have done this already. Send in stuff to contest@tllts.org. But some of you guys, this is killing me. Some of you guys are refusing to send me your name and or address. You're saying things like, I'll let you know who I am and what my address is if I win. Well, I'm going to tell you what, I'm not doing a lot of extra work on this. If you don't send me your name and address, you will not win, right? So if you've sent me one of those emails telling me you're not going to tell me who you are or where you are, you're not going to win unless you send me another email that says, you know, what your name and address is, because I'm not doing this over and over and over again kind of thing and peeling through emails for 3 weeks with people. I will pick a winner, and I will send it out to someone who has sent their name and address in. You can trust me. I'm not going to harvest all your names and addresses and sell them to somebody, or I don't know what anybody's thinking, but this is just for this contest. And perhaps if we have some extra stuff too, I don't know if maybe Joel can finagle actually getting some real books from O'Reilly or something. If we do have something like that, then, you know, we'll go through this list of people and hook them up that way too. But primarily now, this is for a Neuros Link from Neuros Technologies, version 1 Neuros Link. And we're going to pull a name out of the hat. When did we decide, guys? When on the calendar?
Next week, right?
I think, was it next week or the week after we were going to do
it? I thought it was next Tuesday.
Yep.
Wait a minute.
Let's have it in by next Tuesday. We'll draw on the show.
Okay. That's the definitive word, everybody. You have to have your email in by next Tuesday, which is the 21st. Okay? Anything sent in on the 22nd, not going to do it. Next Tuesday, the 21st, is the deadline. Get your name and address in. Send an email to contest@tllts.org. And on the 22nd, next Wednesday, we will draw a winner for the Neuros Link version 1. And I will thusly send it right out to you. And we can all be happy. Right?
Happy,
contest@tllts.org. Send me your name and address.
Maybe
I'm not
going to
farm your name out, your address out to anybody. You will not get any mail solicitations. You know, this is just for the contest. Trust me, when the contest name is drawn, I'm just going to delete all those emails. I'm not going to keep them for anything. But so send me your email.
All right, here's a question for you guys. I'm going to throw this out there. What do you think? Your opinion. Learning Python in a nutshell, or mastering regular expressions?
Python in a nutshell.
You think so?
I have Learning Python myself, and yep. It's a pretty good book.
I don't think I have that book, but I'm not sure. I have Python for System Administrators, and I have Python... I have the Python Phrasebook, but I'm thinking Python in a nutshell, you say, Pat? You have that?
Yeah, that's a good one. The only thing I don't like about the Python in a nutshell book, they have this big section on, like, Iron Python, which is basically those Microsoft people, like, customizing it to the point where it's, like, unusable, except on Windows. But that's only one small section, so...
Yeah, I was going to say, on that free O'Reilly ebook, put TLLTS in the event field. Seriously, do it.
Yeah, just the only requirement that we have is that you're not allowed to get in a .NET development, nothing
right.
with Visual Basic, nothing with Microsoft.
Damn it, I already got my iPhone
Excel.
Programming book.
Your iPhone programming book.
They don't know you if you're going to be doing that.
Yeah.
He's got his programming the Apple TV for iPhone usage.
There you go. No, I went with the jQuery cookbook.
There you go. That sounds like a good one. jQuery. Anyway, I guess the big news last week was the Broadcom drivers are open source now.
Now, Broadcom, if you buy like an HP laptop, that's like the usual chipset that's in there for the wireless, right?
Any AMD-based laptop, you'll find Broadcom in it.
This is a big deal. I think it'll actually work out of the box.
What'd you say, Dave?
So that's good news. Long time coming.
It is
absolutely.
Great news.
Are they still really big? I haven't bought a laptop in a while.
Yeah, I think so. I know. I'm trying to think.
Well, any AMD chipset. They're not going to put an Intel Wi-Fi card in that. You know, so they'll... Any AMD-based chipset, you'll find a Broadcom card in.
Right. That's funny that I didn't have that in my wife's laptop, and hers is the AMD.
What company is it from?
Toshiba.
For the most part, they
go with
the Broadcom chips.
Yeah. I didn't see which one it did have. I know I booted... what did I boot? Maverick, and it didn't have any problems with Wi-Fi at all on the live CD. So, in fact, it's a nice laptop. I wish I had one just like hers. But the nice.
Yeah, I was just looking over at Frostbite Systems and their notebooks, and I don't think they have. I think they have the Intel cards in them, but not the Broadcom.
Yeah
my Dell has the Intel on it.
You'll see they're like the 5100 series or 5300 series.
HP,
those are the
compact
current crop.
Broadcom.
Yeah, compact, big time.
I have a Dell at work that has a Broadcom in it. He's the BW43 FW cutter stuff. So, be anxious to be able to just do an install on that laptop without having to actually... have the Ethernet attached to it.
Before we get anything else, guys, I just want to make a quick nomination for Turd of the Week. Over in Europe, they have Nokia World. You know, Nokia, they're like the phone manufacturers. And they're the guys who did the N800 Internet tablet that we all loved, and the 770, and, oh, you know, the 880 and whatnot. Well, they're supposedly releasing these hot new smartphones to compete with Android and Apple. What's interesting is they're not running Mego, which is what MAMO morphed into. No, they merged with Intel, and they're running Symbian on them. So it doesn't sound like Mego is any of their plans. So I'd like to nominate Nokia for current week.
I'd run with Mego on it. At least one, anyway.
It's pretty sad when you think about it, you know? Those internet tablets were awesome. We loved them. Everybody had them.
I wonder if they're even using Qt on there. I mean, didn't they buy Qt?
That's what they did, yeah. They got Symbian with Qt on there. And Symbian's still a piece of crap. Even if it's a pretty piece of crap now with Qt.
It looks pretty nasty. Still.
It's pathetic, you know? Those guys busted their asses putting together nice products and, you know, doing the software right. And they don't care, you know, so to hell with them, Nokia.
The hell with them.
The Nokia N8.
Yeah, piss on them.
Yeah. Well, but Symbian's open source, though, now, isn't it?
Yeah, I guess. Too little, too late. It's pathetic, though, because, you know, MAMO is awesome. It was basically Debian on a little embedded device. We all got those devices, right? I know Link has one, Alan had one, I had one, Dave had one.
Yes. 770 still works.
They were great devices, man. They started out way ahead
Dave
of everybody.
All day at OLF.
They had a huge lead on everybody else. And they pissed it up, you know, they screwed it up. Shame on them.
Well, the problem with them is they didn't get into the phone game soon enough. They had it. It wouldn't have taken much to go that extra mile, but they...
You mean they didn't get into the smartphone thing? They have tons
right.
of phones. They're all pieces of crap. Cheap
right.
end phones.
Right. Well, I mean, what was your first cell phone? Mine actually
a Motorola,
wasn't
I think. I
yeah,
think
I
had a Motorola.
Mine was a Motorola. Yeah. Yeah, I had a StarTAC 250, or no, I'm
I remember
a StarTAC 250. Yeah, it was a brick. But Teletech 250, then some piece of junk audio Vox one I had.
The audio Vox.
Oh, it was horrible. It was the worst phone I had. But.
Hey, Dan, you got a song for the intermission?
Play the recording too.
Yes, I do.
Yeah, play the recording and do a song.
It looks like Marcel is in the IRC here.
Is he?
Yes, he is, and he is going to be calling in.
Apparently, I just
right
did.
After the break.
Oh, he's
there. You go.
Apparently,
there
what?
He is.
Oh, you just did.
Apparently,
right.
just did.
Yes, I just did. let's do the break. We'll talk after. What the heck?
Great.
Yeah,
awesome.
Damn it. All right. Wait, what am I supposed to play during the break?
You're supposed
music.
To play your our intermission song and maybe Joel's short.
I can't
yeah.
sing tonight, so if you're playing something, I can't sing along.
well,
sorry about that.
Maybe next time.
Sorry. Yeah.
Joel,
yeah,
I don't.
Right.
You know what? I don't know what you're talking about, Joel's
sing
thing.
Along
I don't have week. Joel's thing.
You don't have Joel Short. You don't
I
check
the
email.
Set it to the
Dan.
List.
That's the problem.
Yeah.
All right. I will play
Everybody
that at
got
the
it,
end of the show.
Dan. He just doesn't check his email.
I didn't know it was
That's
in
right.
the email. I'll just play a song. Here we go. And we'll be right back in 3 minutes or so. 4 minutes.
We'll be right back.
Yay. Chew on that one.
Yeah. What he said.
Mm-hmm.
We're gonna have Joel's Food Geek segment in just a minute. What's that?
Yeah. I have Joel's Food Geek segment.
Are you gonna play
this? But how long is it? How long is it?
A couple minutes. That's why I'm calling them shorts, because they're supposed to be short, right?
Right.
Marcel's gonna be on here in a second. He ran to grab his power supply real quick. So.
Who, Marcel?
Yeah.
We can play the song again.
No.
Alright, here it is. Joel's Food Geek segment.
Encore.
Hi, my name is Joel McLaughlin, and today I bring...
Hey, that was great.
...Food Geek segment of the Excellent Tech Show. To fill you in on what Food Geek is and why we decided to add this, I was talking to Dan Fry, Dan Washko, and Link Fezzaman about maybe starting a podcast, but then I thought, well, why don't we just do this as a segment on the Tech Show, and we'll see how it works out. Food Geek will cover everything from recipes to gadget reviews, application reviews, if you find a specific cooking application. Basically, anything that might be of interest to a Food Geek, even a restaurant review, wouldn't be out of the question on this segment. So, today I'm going to talk about the Android version of Big Oven. Big Oven is a website, bigoven.com, which is essentially an online cookbook which is done in the style of a wiki, meaning that you can go and add your own recipes to the website. People can try your recipes, rate them, and review your recipe. The Android application is essentially a big cookbook on your phone. When you find a recipe on your phone that you would like to make, you can add the recipe to your try soon list, I believe is what it's called. And then you can also hit another button and add the ingredients in the recipe to your grocery list. So I imagine you could plan a whole week's worth of menus and have your entire grocery list both viewable on the website and on your phone. Now, to use the website itself and the application, you don't necessarily have to have an account on the website, but in order to use the Try Soon feature and the grocery list feature, you do have to have a sign-on on bigoven.com. The website itself lets you set up a profile that also lets you tell people your cooking skills and other things about yourself. So it's got a little bit of a social networking thing to it, although I really haven't found where you can actually friend people yet. Although there are groups, there's like a Home Chef group, an Aero Gardening group, All Things Barbecue group, Alton Brown fan group, so on and so forth. And I think I'm going to go ahead and create a Linux Link Tech Show group on bigoven.com, so hopefully by the time this review plays on the show, I'll have that created, and that's what we'll share right after this segment's over. So if you need an online cookbook, both on the web and on your phone, check out bigoven.com and the application Big Oven.
Ooh.
All right, Joel.
I don't have the group created yet. Yeah, I don't have the group created yet, but we'll share that later.
All right, Joel. That's our very first tech show short. Hopefully there's going to be many, many more to come from different people even, possibly. Including myself, if I can, you know, now that I actually have something I can record with, perhaps we can give it a go with some sysadmin kind of stuff. And Dan can do his games, and boy, Pat can do all kinds of things too, right?
Yeah, we'll be doing some things.
Something. And without further ado, I believe that we do have Mr. Marcel Gagne on the line. Marcel, are you there?
Hey, yes, I am sort of here. Sort of here, kind of a bit, maybe. You see that?
All right, well, welcome
to that's good enough for us.
Yeah, we're only, you know, the most...
I apologize. I prostrate myself. No, hang on, that's not the right word. I do that bending over apologetically sort of thing, because I've been kind of sick the last couple of days, and it just hit me tonight. I'm sort of sitting there feeling sorry for myself, going, "Oh crap!" Sorry, don't mean to cough. I'll try to hit the mute button when I'm going to cough. Anyway, so feeling sorry for myself and thinking, "Oh my goodness, I'm supposed to be on the show." Hack. Anyway, I do apologize profusely. You see that dog over there? Well, I'm sicker than he is right now. I just, you know, I just want to say that I sort of quasi have an excuse.
No apology necessary. We're just happy to have you back on the show.
Well, I'm
love
I'm
to find
to
out,
be here.
You know, what you've been up to.
What have I been up to? Oh, geez. Those among you who are, you know, watching these things are probably going to have noticed at some point that I did leave Linux Journal. So, you know, it's just kind of interesting given that there was that, you know, that cooking short here just a minute ago. I closed the restaurant back in, I guess, October or something like that. And I've been writing for a couple of other great publications since then. I am now doing a monthly column in Linux Pro Magazine, you know, that glossy, shiny one. I'm also doing a column every issue in Ubuntu User Magazine. In fact, I am the senior editor of Ubuntu User Magazine. So there you go. So those are the sorts of things I've been up to. Those are the things that you're likely interested in. You're not really interested in it. You know, I've got a 6-year-old, a 3-year-old. Both boys keeping me busy, making sure I don't sleep enough. In fact, they're probably the ones I can blame for being... sorry, they're probably the ones I can blame for being sick because school just started up again, so, you know, they bring all that stuff home, right? It's like what I found at school today. Thanks. I appreciate that. Great, thank you.
Oh, yeah. Most of us are parents and know all about that.
Mm-hmm.
That's right. I expect
Anyways, that's
it any day
been,
now.
That's what I've been up to in a nutshell. I'm trying my best, you know, to continue, you know, being a pain in the butt wherever possible and to, you know, spread the FOSS and Linux word whenever possible as well. I missed Ohio Linux Fest. I really wish I could have come down for that, but that was not going to happen. However, I was the guest of honor at PenguinCon this year, so I did get in a little bit of fun Linux there as well. And I was in Calgary doing Linux Fest. COS Fest, which is Calgary Open Source Software Festival, which is you know, largely a Linux and free and open source software gig. So that's kind of been my year so far. How about you guys? How you doing? I totally caught you guys off guard, didn't I?
It's a bummer, man. I heard about the Ontario Linux Fest not happening this year.
That is a serious bummer. I'm sorry about that. Yeah, I'm terribly bummed about that. You know, it's been a great show. The organizers and the people that have been working on it have done a fabulous job with it, you know, all the years that it's been running, which, you know, I think it's 3 or 4 years. I'm trying to put the exact first date in my brain, and my brain's a little fuzzy right now. I apologize. But it was one of the really good, you know, shows that seemed to have real legs, that looked like it was going to go on for a long time, and I was kind of looking forward to it again this year, but alas, it's gone for this year and possibly for good.
That's a bummer. That's a bummer. But yeah, and in answer to your first question, we're doing pretty good, pretty well. We're, you know, this is our relaunch of Season 2, which is, you know, why we have you on here, because we had you on as the first guest of season one, I thought that was kind of appropriate.
That's right. It's a rule. I'm supposed to be there for the first episode of the season opener.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
It's sort of like, what's that guy who used to do the Oscars all the time? See, I don't even watch TV. Isn't that sad? I used to watch TV.
I think we bring you back every 100 episodes, don't we?
We'll have Star Trek Doctor Who.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. You're our Charo.
What was that? Sorry?
You're our Charo, you know, from The Love Boat.
Our Charo. Coochie,
special guest star, Charo.
I'm totally missing that last part there.
He must be
I don't
Coochie
think
Coochie.
Charo made it up to Canada, man.
He saw The Love Boat.
the Love Boat, The Gong Show.
Well, it's not really a bad place up here. You guys need to spend a bit more time up here, seriously. It's totally cool. And in a couple months it's going to be really cool. And then it's going to get cold. But,
that's my kind of weather.
Oh, man.
Bad
I really
Irish
sorry.
Guy weather.
You don't have to apologize anymore, Ken.
Oh, that's okay. Well, you know, I do feel really bad about this. I seriously do.
No. Don't,
no, you don't
we
have
got
to
our
apologize.
Own official
no,
apologist, Dave Yates. He will apologize for
Dave
you.
Yates
Dave
Yates to apologize for you.
Apologize.
Big Ed wants to know why I moved from Mississauga to Waterloo. I'm not entirely sure why that's an important question, but I will answer that question. I moved from Mississauga to Waterloo because there's, you know, I was spending an hour and a half, 2 hours driving every day. When Sally found out that she was pregnant with my first son, we decided that you know, we needed every little bit of time that we were going to have, and we decided to move back towards Waterloo. And besides, Waterloo is cool. Did you know that Waterloo is cool?
I do now.
Come on, guys. Do you know why Waterloo is cool?
Why is Waterloo cool, other than the fact that you live there?
Motion. They make the BlackBerry, okay? So it's the home of research in motion. They have one of the biggest Linux deployments in the world. It's huge. I mean, it's all their servers run Linux. They spin their
own
Linux. Really? Yeah. So there's research in motion. There's also CG, which is the Center for International Governance and Innovation, which is an international political / excuse me, diplomacy think tank. Waterloo also has the Perimeter Institute for Advanced Theoretical Physics, and this year Stephen Hawking was the chair of the Perimeter Institute. This is a really cool town. It's got the University of Waterloo. And of course it's got Wilfrid Laurier University as well. But most people down there are going to go to University of Waterloo because of the computer courses and so forth that come out of there. It's a really cool town, seriously. So there you go. Big Ed says, but best thing is the University of Waterloo. The University of Waterloo is cool, but I think the Perimeter Institute is way cool. I mean, every town's got to have a center for advanced theoretical physics, don't you think?
Absolutely. Absolutely. And I'm here to tell you that in my town, I am the center for advanced theoretical physics.
Hey, that's excellent.
It's about all you get over here.
Right.
Sorry. Oh, and we have Mennonites just outside of town, too. Which makes it really weird. Because you've got all this serious high-tech
True.
Stuff. You know, here and just outside of town, you've got, you know, you're 200 years back in time. It's cool.
Any Mennonite restaurants up
Linux,
there?
Open source. The Linux boss stuff, distributions. What do you want to talk about, dudes?
Dave Yates wants to know if there's any Mennonite restaurants up there.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely. Good food. Absolutely.
Dave, there's also some Cenobite restaurants up there, too. They're a different kind of...
Cenobite?
You don't know what a Cenobite is?
No.
I don't know what a Cenobite is.
You never saw Hellraiser or read the
is
Books
that like
of
sushi?
Blood? No. it's a horror movie reference, sorry.
Play it,
so
Tim Horton.
You are writing for Ubuntu Magazine. Are you? Did you sway more towards Ubuntu right now?
I'm writing for Ubuntu. Yeah, I'm writing for Ubuntu User Magazine. I'm also the senior editor of Ubuntu User Magazine. So yes, I guess you could say I'm swaying more in that direction these days. As you guys know, I mean, I'm a huge proponent of desktop Linux. And I'm talking like big time. There are companies out there doing some great stuff. I mean, Red Hat's doing some great stuff, but most of what they're doing is over in the server world. Nothing wrong with servers. I love the fact that Linux is, you know, it's pretty much taken over in the server avenue, and it's going to take over the mobile world very shortly. But you know, there's a part of me that still wants and looks forward to the day when you know when Linux on the desktop is, you know, a little bit more common than it is right now. You know, I'm not sure when exactly that's going to happen, but I appreciate the companies that are putting a lot of energy into, you know, producing desktop distributions. I know there are a bunch of them out there, but you know, Ubuntu and Kubuntu and all the various Starbuntus, as I like to call them, are doing a damn fine job of putting a good product out there, a good desktop product out there, and yeah, I'm kind of excited by what they do. There you go.
So, and I know the last time we spoke with you, I think the big thing was, are we ever going to really see some serious penetration of Linux in the desktop? And, you know, you had said about it's in the server area, it's dominating the mobile market. It's like going, you know, it's enveloping all around the desktop area, but it's also, I mean, since I think we spoke with you, you know, we've seen a bunch of Linux companies offering Linux on the desktop, small companies in the U.S. really spring up. Frostbite's a reason, System76, Dell has offerings. I think HP still has some offerings. I'd like to see more penetration in the foreign markets, especially over in Europe. But, I mean, it's coming along, I think, pretty healthily.
Well, it's coming along, but, I mean, but you know, I want more. I want a lot more than that. I want tons of that, and I really think that to get it into a bunch of different companies. I mean, System76 and stuff like that. Where you know they're a Linux shop. That's the sort of thing. The thing that gets me excited is when Dell starts pushing Linux, you know, or some other major distributor starts pushing Linux, because you got to get Linux pre-installed on PCs. You know, until it gets pre-installed on PCs, like I was so ticked when Microsoft kept making fun of netbooks, saying netbooks are just toys. Nobody's ever going to want a netbook. Nobody's ever going to want a netbook. And of course, netbooks were being distributed, you know, pretty much just with Linux. And then when they saw, holy crap, people are buying netbooks, they had to strip Windows XP down to the core. They concluded on the netbooks, right? But that's the kind of penetration, that's the kind of market presence that I'd like to see Linux have. I mean, just because we've got a few companies that are doing well here and so forth, still not a huge big deal. And I'm looking forward to the day when it is a huge big deal. I'm not talking about, you know, I mean, I can joke about Linux world domination as much as the next guy, but fact of the matter is, I think a healthy personal computer ecosystem runs a variety of operating systems. You know, I mean, I'd be totally thrilled if it was, you know, a third Apple, third Microsoft, third Linux. Hey, that'd be really cool, because you'd see some great cross-platform, cross-operating system applications, and a lot more opportunities for people who wanted to work in this field without, you know, paying a massive license fees to somebody. So yes, that's where I get excited, is when a big company can get on with it. And no big company is going to get on with installing Linux on their PCs unless there's, you know, another company that appears healthy, that's dedicated to pushing a desktop product out there. And Zuse has done that reasonably well, but you can argue about how well it's happened, you know, of late. Particularly since it's been, you know, and make a note here, I'm not actually knocking Zuse or OpenZuse in any way, shape, or form here. I'm just saying that the company that seems to have, you know, really pushed for a desktop Linux brand without trying to so trying to create anything else other than a desktop Linux brand has definitely got to be canonical. More power to them. I hope it goes well. I hope it continues to do well. But I think that's why you need, you know, I think that's one of the reasons that I'm, you know, reasonably excited about, you know, working with Ubuntu User Magazine and the fact that there are people out there who are obviously, you know, and not just the geeks like us, but there are obviously people out there that are actually starting to recognize the brand. Yeah, I kind of, if you ever read anything that I write in Ubuntu User Magazine or, you know, online in the Ubuntu User blog and so forth, you'll see that I always call it Ubuntu Linux, okay, because I never want people to forget that that's what it is. Hello? Hello?
No, I'm still listening.
Oh, we're still here.
I get everybody completely quiet out there. I pause for a minute, and they go, this guy just talks and talks and talks, and then all of a sudden when there's a moment of quiet, it's like, oh, my God, has he actually stopped talking?
No, you
it's
have
all
just
good, man.
Fascinated us and captured our attention completely. So.
Hmm. Yes.
So I'm
anyway,
guessing
I
that
do,
a pretty safe question is that you actually use Ubuntu at home on your computer then, right?
Well, I use Kubuntu on Kubuntu. My computers at home. I mean, I occasionally...
Oh, here we go. Fracturing.
Yeah, I occasionally wander into the GNOME desktop world, and I do because you know, I write about it as well. But day-to-day, I'm a KDE user. Actually, I've been using Maverick since it was like at the second alpha or something like that. So I've been running Maverick.
I was just gonna ask you about that.
Yeah, no, I've been running Maverick since like alpha two or alpha three. I mean, so I've been running it for quite a while now. Part of what happens when I'm writing for something is I write a couple of months ahead, so I'm always working with if you'll pardon the expression, the bleeding edge. Every once in a while, I get cut, I get hurt, but I'm always working with the bleeding edge on this stuff. But fact of the matter is, day to day, I mean, there's lots of great stuff out there. There are lots of great desktop environments. I think LXDE is totally cool. Great lightweight desktop environment and so forth. But truth be told, I run KDE and that's still what I've been running it for a number of years, and I just think it's gotten better and better over time.
Cool.
No Linux Mint? Have you tried that yet?
Sorry, I hit the mute button there so that I wouldn't cough on your line. Absolutely. In fact, I've written about Mint as well, oddly enough, on the Ubuntu User blog. I think Mint is a damn fine distribution. They've done a superb job of packaging it. As you know, it is based on Ubuntu, although there is Mint that's based on just... a vanilla Debian, which is kind of interesting.
Mm-hmm. Debian testing. Music. Yeah, they just released
it. That's right. What was that?
It's based on testing. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. So they're using Debian on the new one, which is kind of exciting. I think it's pretty cool. But there's no question that the Mint. I mean, I've called Linux Mint Linux done right, and done right by virtue of the fact that. I mean, if you burn a Mint DVD or CD and you hand it off to somebody, it pretty much got, you know, and I'm talking about the Windows users that are Linux curious, you hand it off, and everything pretty much, I mean, everything's there. They've got your Flash plugins, they've got your Java plugins, they've got all that stuff already on the desktop. Mint is really sweet. I think they've done a nice job with their implementation of Ubuntu.
I love it. And you know, I get excited when I'm talking to people like you who are into desktop Linux because I as a system administrator, I'm a Linux system administrator, so I'm one of the really, really lucky guys. I get to run Linux all day long, every day, and use, you know, practically nothing but Linux. And I like Mint for my desktop because I have this issue with pissing around with my Linux install. You know what I mean? Like a desktop Linux, you just want to load the thing on there and you want everything already set up and working for you. You know, the last thing in the world, if I have to fix servers and stuff like that, the last thing in the world I want to do is have to piss around with my desktop install for hours beforehand.
The downside.
Agreed.
Yeah. Yeah, the downside for a guy like me is, like I said, I have to write 2-3 months into the future. You know, and I mean, I've been doing this gig for like 11 years now. I've been writing, you know, Linux and open source articles for Linux, you know, in the Linux and open source field for 11 years. And I've sort of gotten used to the idea of living with something that isn't quite 100% stable on my desktop, just because, you know, I always have to work with, you know, whatever's up and coming as opposed to whatever's here now. And that would make something like Mint very difficult for me to actually work with. You know, even if I wasn't, you know, even if I wasn't writing for Ubuntu User or, you know, editing Ubuntu User, I would still probably be looking at a distribution like that by virtue of the fact that there is always a bleeding edge distribution out there that you can download that's being worked on in a big way. Once upon a time, a million years ago, some of you guys are going to remember this, I used to be seriously hot on Mandriva. Mandriva, Mandrake, so forth. I thought they had done some amazing desktop. And again, I mean, that seems to be the way to get my loyalty when it comes to Linux. You know, build a great desktop distribution. That's what gets me excited. And in fact, somewhere out there, you can look it up in... sorry about that. In my old Wuftel Bytes thing that I was doing for a while there. Somewhere out there, I have a crisis of Ubuntu faith. You know, I put a little video out where I was sitting there talking about the idea that the things that I wanted to see bleeding edge, that I wanted them to be working on and so forth, they weren't doing. And for a while there, I went off and I ran Mandriva again, and I ran OpenZUSE again, and I went through like 3 or 4 different distributions. But when it was all said and done, you know, 8 months had gone by and I was back to running Kubuntu. And by that time, the things that were kind of, if you'll pardon the expression, pissing me off, which was the just how much KDE was lagging in Kubuntu, and that's really what was driving me bananas, was how much KDE was lagging, was gone. That issue had been resolved, and we were seeing some great leading edge stuff in Kubuntu. I still work with and try a lot of distributions. It happens all the time, but the Star Ubuntu's and you know, more specifically Ubuntu and Kubuntu, you know, definitely have my attention at the moment, and I hope it continues going well for them, because I want to see more of those desktops out there. I want to see more of those Dell type deals and so forth. I want it to be not at all uncommon that somebody could order a PC and there's no issue and there's no problem in picking one up that's running Linux. See, I do that, don't I? I mean, I just talk and talk and talk, and then everybody says, "Ooh, oh my God, he stopped." Sorry.
I have a question.
We all have to find our mute buttons and turn it back on.
I got a question.
Ah, is that what it is? You know, I've got an opposite problem. I keep trying to hit the mute button so I can cough, and I can't find the silly thing. So there you go. Go ahead. You were going to ask a question.
Yeah, here in the States, we have, you know, Dell started selling Linux desktops pre-installed, and we have a whole bunch of smaller vendors like Xareason and System76 and Frostbite. Mm-hmm. They're selling machines pre-installed. Are they shipping up to Canada, or do you have other vendors up
there? You
know,
I don't know. And I'm Marcel was expecting a different level of professionalism. No, I wasn't. I just saw that on the in the chat. Marcel was expecting a different level of professionalism. No. No, I wasn't expecting anything
from us.
Nope.
He's been here before.
Oh, wait a minute. That almost sounded like I was saying a bad thing there. No, I haven't seen an awful lot of that, and I confess that I don't see an awful lot of that side of things, because of course I'm the guy who always installs things myself. You know, I burn the 50 copies of a CD or DVD and hand them out. So, so I'm usually dealing with things after the fact. And of course, the other thing that is interesting in what I do is I'm usually more interested in getting somebody new, you know, who's currently got a PC that's running Windows You know, I'm interested in getting them to give up, you know, running Windows and running some form of Linux. So it's usually what I wind up doing more often than not. Now, yeah, I know there's some great companies out there in the space. Frankly, I'd love to look at some of their products, you know, just for the sheer joy of, you know, mucking about with it and seeing what other people have to offer. Well, yeah, you said System 76 is Red 7, which is out in Phoenix Way. Those are the Gutsy Geeks guys. I actually had a list of a lot of distributors that had Linux pre-installed. I'm kind of drawing a blank on them at the moment, but I did have a fairly sizable list at one point. I just haven't kept up to it.
Yeah, Zareason sells them, and they actually also ship to Canada.
You know, I think there's probably a more of an incentive. I mean, there would be more of an incentive now because the U.S. dollar just isn't that strong against the Canadian dollar. But, I mean, you go back 2 years, two and a half years, and, like, a U.S. dollar was worth practically $1.50 up here. You'd have to really, really, really want something. You know, you'd have to really, really want that PC to even consider having it sent up here. It just would have been prohibitively expensive. So I'm guessing that up until at least a couple of years ago, you probably wouldn't have seen a lot of motion in that direction. There was a company that that was around for a while doing that in Toronto, but they disappeared, you know, 2 or 3 years ago. But they were doing that sort of thing, sub500.com or sub300.com or something, and they were doing Linux pre-installed systems. I don't know that there are an awful lot that do it up here, to be perfectly honest, other than some of the big guys. But I suspect. And I suspect this partly because I've seen such a store up in Lindsay, of all places. Lindsay, Ontario, which is near Peterborough for, excuse me, for anybody out there who actually knows anything about, you know, the that little town. I was in Lindsay last year, and I was walking down the main drag up there, and there was actually, and this just totally freaked me out, there was actually a store there, just, you know, this little computer store that what they were pushing were PCs with Linux pre-installed. That was their thing. And I thought, you know, I actually thought at that time, how many of those companies out there, you know, exist? It would be kind of nice to have. You have no idea how many millions of different, you know, informational sites I keep thinking I'd love to be able to do. If I could figure out a way to actually, you know, make a decent salary, just, you know, continually putting this information together, I'd probably just do that. But one of the things I always thought would be cool would be to have some kind of a directory of all these little computer stores, like, you know, across the country, across the U.S., across Canada, across wherever, where if you wanted to buy yourself a system with Linux pre-installed or a system from somebody who understands Linux and knows something about it, you could just go there and say, hey, these are the people in my town that sell this stuff. You know, because there's a lot of bottom-up stuff that happens in the Linux and FOSS world, right? We got a lot of people, you know, a lot of small guys, men and women who, you know, who offer a bit of their time to help develop a project and so forth. And I think that happens, for sales of things as well, but nobody knows who they are or where they are because we're so used to looking, you know, at these big names all the time. I'm actually the thing that's been that I've been thinking a lot about lately is, I mean, and I've been thinking about this for years, is the whole marketing thing. How do we market Linux and so forth? But we kid about TLLTS because we care. Yes, I know that. I know that. Sorry, I mean, I keep reading the IRC channel as it goes by. So I think it would be great to have that list. You know, just where are all these people? Who are all these people? And have them, you know, subscribe to this directory so you can check them out. And then, of course, somebody has to maintain it. Somebody has to maintain it. Okay, somebody out there who's listening to this out on the channel, who's got some time to kill, who doesn't have a life. I mean,
yeah,
with some disposable time on their hands. This would be a great service. You know, where can I buy my PC? You know, you interface it with Google Maps. You've got like a great Google Map mashup and so forth. You know, I live here. You know, I'm looking for blah blah blah, and it sits there and it, you know, it lights up the dots. You know, the little teardrop thingies. You know, showing you where all the various stores are. Wouldn't that be cool?
That would be
you guys
awesome.
That, that would be cool, Marcel. I hear what you're saying about the bottom-up stuff. Do you ever see a time when Linux permanently makes it pre-installed on computers in, like, traditional big-box stores? I mean, I can remember 10, 15 years ago being able to buy Red Hat 5.2 at Best Buy. I can remember buying a Triple E PC with Windows or whatever. I can't remember what was on there at Target store, but it seems like those things vanish. I mean, I can remember Walmart had a Linux PC netbook that sold out, but then they quit offering it. It seems like every time they make it in a big box store, the big box store cuts a deal with MSNBC or somebody or MSN, and it just vanishes. Or, you know, I don't know what the reason is.
Oh, yeah. Well, I mean, it's to the best interest of, you know, the companies that have the giant deep pockets, in this case Microsoft and so forth, to make sure that when you see these holes, you know, when you see these trends developing, when you see these holes in your market share opening up, that you close them up, you know, that you do whatever it takes. You know, even if your product is normally, you know, notoriously expensive in comparison, that you bring the price point down so low that all of a sudden the stuff, you know, does suddenly, you know, become attractive again, which is what happened in the netbook marketplace. Because initially, you know, there was no way that anybody was going to be able to pull that off. But, you know, there you have it. The dominant operating system on netbooks these days, when you go out and buy one, is definitely Windows, you know, and it started out Linux. Do I see a time? I don't know. I'm not sure that I would have told you that, you know, I'm not sure that 2 years ago I would have told you that the dominant operating system on smartphones would be Linux. But it certainly is looking that way right now, isn't it?
Yeah.
I mean, you know, a version of Linux, obviously Android, but it's a big deal. I've been chatting with a friend of mine about, you know, we chat on and off about market space for, you know, Apple versus BlackBerry versus versus Android phones, and the number of applications, the number of developers, and the number of Android-based phones that are going out there is phenomenal. It's amazing. And like I said, yet you go back, you know, 2-3 years, and I'm not sure that you could have, you know, that you would have been looking at the world today thinking, hey, we've got a three-horse race here between Research in Motion, Apple, and Android. I'm not sure that you could have predicted that 3 years ago. So, do I ever see a day? Well, I'm, you know, like I said, I'd like to see that varied ecosystem of multiple operating systems, including, of course, Linux on the desktop. It gets depressing sometimes, you know, being out here trying to, you know, you walk the walk and you talk the talk, and, you know, not everybody sees that there's really a good reason for doing that. But then again, Linux continues to grow in the server space and continues to grow. I mean, Linux is everywhere. It is absolutely everywhere. It's on every conceivable form of device. The only place it doesn't have a big presence is the desktop. That is the only place it doesn't have a big presence. So, you know, maybe it's going to come. I don't know, but things occasionally change and change fast, and you don't always know what it is that makes it happen. But I think it's possible.
I think it'd take some kind of game-changing scenario. I mean, I'd be waiting for Apple or Windows to fall.
You know, but to steal a line from Apple, you know, this changes everything again. You know, everything changes all the time. You know, and the game is always changing. So, yes, I agree with you completely. It would take a game-changing event. But game-changing events are just, you know, they're a dime a dozen. They show up on a regular basis, so... You remember a company called Novell?
Yeah.
Remember them? They used to have a product called NetWare. Yeah, well, way back when NetWare was king of the server, okay, nobody out there would have ever believed that Microsoft could produce that dorky Mac look-alike Windows operating system would ever take over NetWare, you know, NetWare's space in the server room. But it happened. You know, so just because you're the biggest geek, you know, just because you're the biggest on the block, and just because you've got the largest market, you know, market share, doesn't mean you're always going to be the biggest or you're always going to have the biggest market share. I'm not saying you're going to go out of business tomorrow, but it doesn't. It nothing says it isn't going to change. And you just have to look at a lot of different companies that have come and gone in the last 10 years. Just go out there and go through the list, and you'll be amazed at who's come and gone over that period. It could happen. It could happen. Or it could be something entirely different. You know, BIOS might make a comeback. I can't believe no one's picking up on that.
Well, you got Haiku. Haiku stuff looks interesting. It's not that mature, but it looks pretty cool from what we've seen of it.
What's that?
Haiku OS.
Haiku.
I don't even know what that is.
It's
like BOS 2.0, sort of.
Yeah, it's a BOS.
Yeah, BOS,
type,
yeah.
Unix kind of thing.
Well, Haiku. It is in Haiku. I love Haiku. I love Haiku because you can do some really amazingly over-the-top, stupid things in Haiku. It's wonderful. There's been a lot of computer code written in Haiku.
Yeah.
There we go, haikuos.org. Thank you, Claudio. I will most assuredly check into it. Always curious to look some of this new stuff up. Marcel opens up yet another tab on his browser, which has got 16,355 tabs open. Cool.
Haiku is pretty neat. I played with it a little bit. Played with it a little bit. They were at OLF this year. Really interesting stuff.
I play with it myself. I find it a little hard to get into because I don't have a lot of time on my hands. And if I'm going to mess around with something, I'll probably stick around with messing with Linux. But it was an interesting experience, you know. It was like running BIOS 5-6 years ago. Actually, no, that was more like 10 years ago. Fancy, slick, but I don't know what I'm going to do with it.
Well, you know, I have a friend of mine who is fond of saying that the best operating system that ever existed and that, you know, probably will ever exist and it's going to come back any day now is System 80. So there you go. Or wait a minute. No, not System 80. What the hell was it? I can't even remember those stupid little. It's something like that. Those stupid little handheld PCs that existed 20 years ago or so. There. I'm not even. It's not Palm OS. I can't remember. I'm really losing.
Symbian.
What's that?
Symbian.
It's not, TRS-80, definitely. I mean, TRS-80 was, was hot stuff. But, you can get a TRS-80
Model 100.
Well, we got to start wrapping things up. I don't know if you want
right.
to make a few more comments, because we're getting close to the end of time. If you have anything else you want to say.
Well, listen. I'll just make this comment. Make sure you go out and go out there and do that FOSS and Linux thing and continue doing it and be excellent to each other and show people that we're not just we're not just dorky geeks. We've actually got something going here, and maybe the year of the Linux desktop will actually happen someday. So there you go. Did I make any sense whatsoever? Have I mentioned that I'm
No,
sick?
You made perfect sense.
Okay, good.
Have you seen, a question for you though, overall, have you seen a marked improvement in the Linux community from the perspective of new people coming in and it being a little more accessible and friendlier than it was, maybe 5, 6, 10 years ago?
You know, I'm aching over this a lot these days. In fact, I wrote my last blog post on Ubuntu User Magazine's website, ubuntu-user.com. I've got this thing about reaching out to which community, and I questioned whether lugs, my own Wuftel lug aside, but whether lugs were actually doing a particularly good job of reaching out to new users then or now, and I'm not sure that it's happening all that much. I keep thinking that what Linux needs to do you know, Linux, open source, you know, all the various companies that are in this market space. I keep thinking that what they need to do is some real honest-to-God old-fashioned marketing. And marketing isn't just sales. Marketing is education. It's letting people know, you know, that you've got something, that you've got something that it's good, that it's going to be good for them, and so forth. And I still think that we suck at marketing, and I'm hoping that someday we actually get, you know, we actually get it together on that one. And I've been, you know, and that's been my, it's been a big bailiwick for me for a long time, and something that I've been bouncing around in my head for ages, as in, how do we do this? You know, what do we do to, you know, to create that thing out there? When about 5 years ago, I did a keynote for the Seneca College Open Source Symposium, Free Software Open Source Symposium, and I called it Linux Marketing. We really suck at this. Take a look inside your just for something amusing there of what I was playing with all those years ago, and I've left it out there for hysterical reasons. But I was going on about the idea that, you know, a lot of different industries have a marketing board for their industry. The auto industry has a marketing board. The milk industry has a marketing board. The coffee, you know, the coffee industry has a marketing board. They're all a bunch of companies that are, you know, related in some way, shape, or form. But they have a body that, you know, doesn't represent any single one, but represents all of them, you know, whose entire purpose is to get the message out there. And I keep thinking that there's something in that. I don't know how we do it, you know, who's going to get behind something like this. But there's got to be some way to get the message out there, to get teach people, let people know what we're doing. And like I said, I mean, I gave a long talk about that, and something that I called the Linux Open Source Marketing Board at the time. You know, here I'll put it in the IRC channel. So I kept the website out there for hysterical reasons. You know, Marcel stuff. And I was trying to assemble, you know, the commercials that people have done in the past, you know, the talks that people have done, and, you know, just sort of blue-skying to try to figure out how we would create something like this, you know, that would involve everybody. I know that there's LinuxCon, but I'm not sure that that's it. You know, I'm not sure that that's the way that it needs to be done. I think it has to be something that is much, much, much more... marketing, direct marketing, you know, by direct, I don't mean picking up the phone and calling people, but, you know, in-your-face marketing. So, there you go.
I appreciate it, and I appreciate all the work that you do for the community. Thank you very much.
No, you're very welcome. And again, I apologize for coming in late tonight, but... I'm glad I actually
made it. No worries, man.
You
came in. That's all that matters.
All right, listen. You guys take care. Thank you very much for having me on for the inaugural show.
Thank you, Marcel.
You decide actually
nice talking to you.
For the first episode.
Great having you on, Marcel.
And hopefully I'll remember that time.
Yeah, we'll have you back on again. Look forward to it because you're always a great guest, and thank you very much.
All right, you take care,
thank
my friend.
Thank you.
Yeah, thanks
Have
for coming
evening.
On,
Marcel.
Sure. I hope you feel better.
Yeah, thank you. I appreciate it. Bye-bye.
Bye. I guess that's a wrap for this show.
That's
Ran
it?
Over a little bit, but that's okay. It's all good.
We're good.
Don't forget about the looking in the IRC for the ebook request for everybody who went to OLF.
Nudge, nudge, wink, wink.
that would be
also,
everybody that's listening. Actually,
what I would recommend, seriously, if you're going to go tonight and get, you know, request one of the books, take note that O'Reilly is currently running a special that all their ebook cookbooks are $9.99. So if you're like interested in something like regular expression cookbook, instead of getting it, you know, for free, which, you know, you get a $30 book for free, consider just buying the $9.99 one and pulling that down and go get a more expensive book for free. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, baby.
Yeah, you know what I'm saying. So. Yeah. Dave, question, Dave. What ebook reader do you use on your Android phone?
Shut up, Dan.
I don't have an Android phone.
Why not?
Because my wife
because
is
Dave's
cheap.
Dave's phone barely makes phone calls, yeah.
Let me tell you something, yeah. Dave. Down in South Carolina, T-Mobile work like a champ, man. I'm paying $60 a month for my account. No contract. You just get a phone online.
Verizon.
You could pick one up on eBay. I used, say, my Touch Slide 3G or something. One of the other phones. It'll set you right up, man.
I'm looking into that. Between now and April, I will get one. But I have to work the system. I mean, it's just the world I live in.
Gonna work the system, yeah.
Yep.
Are you gonna?
Yep.
You gonna start singing some Genesis now?
Who, me?
Yeah.
That's old Genesis there,
working
isn't it?
The system. Yeah, it is. Is that Peter Gabriel Genesis?
I think
Wasn't
it is.
Cool.
Yeah.
They only had like one or two albums after Peter Gabriel left it that were still kind of cool. And then they turned into a pop band.
Alright, well, let's see how this show turns out, gentlemen. Audio quality-wise, hopefully it's a little better.
It's going to be
beautiful.
Presentable
for people. I hope
so. It's going to be beautiful. This is the inaugural You Can Hear Link episode.
You can hear him just great.
Excellent. So, if that's it, we will, without further ado, close it up.
That's all for this time.
Yeah.
See you next
Good night, everybody. Thanks
See you
for
listening.
Good night,
y'all.
Good night, Man Fry and Dave Yates and Pat, Joel and Link and Alan.
Hugs and kisses.
Aww.
Can we talk about the new sets of computers?
Can we talk about multi-processing?
Can we talk about bailiff busters?
Can we talk about Web 2.0?
Just talk geek to me.
Just talk geek to me.
Hey, it's Steve Geek. Please come check out my podcast for my take on all things geeky. You can find us at www.talkgeektome.us. That's www.talkgeektome.us. Thank you.
Just talk geek to me.
So we can paint anything we want?
Anything at all.
How about if I paint your fine ass? Yeah, with my tongue brush. Shut up. Just shut up.
Daddy has a gun!
It's over.
Yeah.
It's over.
That's it. Joel, I just wanted to say to you that the Cooking for Geeks Kindle book is crap compared to the one that O'Reilly put out. I don't know what's going on.
Uh-huh.
The Kindle reader. I mean, I showed you. Didn't I show you the way it looked like on the Kindle? It's just horrible. But when I look at the APK, it's almost perfect, you know? I look at it and say, well, this is very readable.
Dan, which version did you copy down for the Kindle? Did you do the Mobi version?
No, I just purchased it through the Kindle app.
You guys, I'll talk to you later. I gotta get going.
See you later. I'm talking here, Alan. Shut your damn mouth and get out of here. No, I purchased the book through the Kindle app.
Oh, okay.
On the Android, and it pulled it down in the Kindle app, so it's in there. And you know, I think... If Borders didn't put out the crappiest ebook reader ever, I think the Kindle one would have been the main contender for that. The Nook is great, the Nook reader, and Aldico is perfect.
Slow though.
What?
The Nook app's kind of slow.
I don't have a problem with it.
I haven't looked at email yet, Joel. You're joking.
I like the Kindle one. That's been working good for me.
Give me hassles. Gmail's give me a...
But have you tried... Well, you've used Aldico, haven't you?
No.
I mean, try Aldico. And just, like, pull down a free book off of feedbooks.com.
Yeah, EPUBs are great on Aldico. They look very good.
Yeah, and, you know, it's a world of difference between the Kindle and Aldico. And I think whoever did... Barnes & Noble's Nook Reader. They must have, either it was Aldeco, that, you know, same company, or, because they got a lot of the same features, and it's just nice. I'm not trying to influence you, Man Fry. I'm just trying to tell you the way it is.
No, I'm gonna pull it down right now from half-brain.
Yeah, check it out. And you know, even you could go and get the Nook too and pull down free.
Yeah, I have that one
Nook
too.
And it's the way it is. It flows like that.
But I haven't noticed the Kindle app being slow or anything like that.
No, it's good.
It hasn't been slow for me. It's just the overall the look of the text, the way the text formats, and the way that the whole thing operates and the features that it has are not as I don't think as good as Aldeco or the Nook Reader. But I don't. That being
cool.
Said, I usually don't have problems reading books on the Kindle. The
How
only
do you
one
spell
that,
that
ever gave me problems. You what?
How do you spell that?
A was it A-L-D-I-K-O?
Yes. Yes.
I was way off.
A-L-D-I-K-O. It's good stuff, but yeah.
What's the difference between the free one and the premium one?
There it goes.
I don't know, what is the difference between the one has ads and the other one doesn't?
You should get that now, Link.
Sweet. That'll come down the next time I sync it.
Trying to think. Oh yeah, the only one I had problems with, any real problems, was cooking for geeks under the Kindle app. It had the pictures you couldn't see, the tables were just messed up.
I wonder if it's
something
with O'Reilly too, or you know what they're producing for the through the whatever it is through the Kindle app. I download a lot of them from the Pragmatic Programmers bookshelf,
mm-hmm.
and they and those ones come out perfectly. All the diagrams, any images that are in there, they all render you know appropriately on this or on the actual Kindle itself.
Really?
Yep.
That's what I was gonna say. Well, I think you got it. I think O'Reilly isn't making as good of a rendition for Kindle.
And that could be possible too.
You can try maybe I'll fire you off an email of the Mobi or the EPUB version.
Yeah, shoot it over to me.
We'll see if it. I've got the Mobi on my Kindle and works pretty good. But anyway, but it's a pretty cool book, Cooking for Geeks. Anyway.
Anyway, I gotta stop this recording.
It's gonna be a good show.
Say goodnight, Joel.
Good night, Joel.
Good night. Oh yeah. Give me some words, baby.
Touching
shock
one,
my genitals
two,
into submission. That's looking good.
Damn.
Craig Lutz has terminated his adult services.
That was a while ago.
No, they actually officially made it official today.
Oh. That's a bummer. I was looking forward to participating in some of that. Weren't we all?
Well, you know, now all you have to do is find it in along with the bike for sale.
That's it. A bike and a hooker.
There you go. Because all they do, they just moved it back to general pop, you know, the general population for all this shit, so. Instead of having a one-stop shopping place for the cops, now they have to look for it like everybody else.
How much problems was that really causing?
It wasn't causing any. It's just grandstanding by a bunch of, you know, attorney generals who ain't got nothing better to do. They can't really fight crime, so they go after the easy things. And hookers are very easy.
What's that? What did I miss?
The Craigslist. Craigslist.
Oh,
they shut down the
adult
stuff.
Off of there?
Yeah, well, they made it official today that they're not going to have that anymore.
Ah. That's too bad. You could get some good pictures up there, you know?
Oh, there was some hilarious stuff on there. Who's, like, whistling?
I don't know what that is. Oh,
that's
dryer.
Dan's underwear is done. Sounds like a fire alarm, you know?
Yeah, it does.
Detector thing.
Oh, bummer. They took down that climbing video.
Well, I'll be right back, gentlemen. I got to go fetch my mic stand and my hamburger for dinner.
Yeah, I guess we're going to do the same thing. I got to run downstairs and get my water. So I'll be back.
Catch you in a couple. Hey, we don't happen to have Marcel's home number, do we? Everybody ready? 1, 2, 3. Extra rules!
When they're back.
I paused the wrong thing. No, I don't have Marcel's number. Do you?
I don't think I have it, no.
I know I don't have it. I sent him 2 messages on Facebook starting Monday, and I just sent him emails to his other 2 email addresses, too.
You didn't hear anything back from him?
No.
Is it on, maybe on his Facebook page?
I put, no, I don't think so. I'll look. I'm gonna look, though.
Oh,
you still there?
Actually working for me right now.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, baby! Link's my angel. He'll come and save me tonight. Nice. Hold on.
So it's Dan that has all the noise in the background here.
Of course.
It's not me this time.
So let me ask you guys, how long was Dan actually at the table for? What time did he show up? Like 5:30, 6 o'clock?
He got down to the table around 11:30, I think it was. 10:30?
Oh, that's early.
10:30.
Hey, Joe, how you doing?
How am I sounding?
Fell a bit low.
Yeah, as usual. Hey, guys.
Hey, Dan.
Hello, hello.
Hey, Alan. Hey, Alan.
So it was a complete mess and completely shot.
Dan was hurting really well until
yes,
the evening.
Yeah,
so who bought him?
He was Nagios guys. Nagios was just handing out drink tickets no matter what. Just walk in the door and they handed you a drink ticket.
That's cool.
Dan was feeling good.
Am I sounding better now?
Yeah, you sound better.
Yeah.
Good.
Hey, actually, Dan. I don't think Dan
just don't talk very loud. You'll be good.
I can turn it down.
As soon as you do that, you crackle.
Okay, I'll back it off just a touch then.
Yeah. I'd rather have you a little low and then get loud than the other way around.
Hello.
Hello.
Yeah, I don't think Dan was feeling anything at all, really.
No, he was not.
Was he belligerent?
Nor his legs, either.
Dave's going to have to answer that. How was Dan?
Can y'all hear me?
None of us saw him. We can hear you.
Okay. I wasn't sure.
Was he belligerent, Dave?
What's that?
Was Dan belligerent?
I thought he was going to punch me in the face at one point.
I guess I did.
I really did. I thought he was going to punch me in the face. I was with Dan the whole time. He crashed hard 4 or 5 times on the walk back to the hotel.
What do you mean?
I'm going to punch you in the face is what he's sounding.
You know he's true.
He hit the ground. Is that why?
Dave, is that why they couldn't find you the next day at all? You guys kept mentioning that in the recording, you know, that you couldn't find Dave anywhere, so.
Yeah,
no, Dave was around all day. That was only in the evening.
Oh, okay,
just
okay.
Just getting down a little bit.
Just once Dan came back, right?
Yeah.
Hello, hello.
That was
better,
pretty
better?
Funny. Better, better. Just, like I said, if you crackle again, we'll tell you.
Yep.
So was he
face
down in the street?
Okay.
Say again?
Was he face down in the middle of the street?
Sidewalk.
I don't believe in the street.
In a mulch bed, and outside the hotel, and in the lobby.
He fell in the lobby. I like
That's
the picture
awesome.
That Jeremy put up on Facebook. Dan drunk. Not his face though. His backside.
There's one floating around. I'm not sure who had the camera, but he did show it to me. On it, where it's just a picture of Dan on the ground.
Yeah, he's like face planted in the ground. That's awesome. We need to find that picture.
We need to like have like Dr.
I did ask him to send it to the show.
Have some flowers growing out of his ass or something.
Yeah.
A small sapling growing out of the middle of his back.
I like it. I loved his Facebook status the next day. How not to do a Linux Fest to get so drunk that you miss the whole thing.
No, he didn't miss the whole thing, just most of it.
Most of it.
Some people have designated drivers. We have a designated drinker, that's all.
That, my good friend, is the last
there
time there will be any of that.
That's what you said.
I certainly hope so.
That's 3 years ago, Dan.
You were sloppy drunk, man.
I wasn't sloppy. It was all good.
No. It wasn't sloppy. He was just drunk.
Right back.
He was hammered.
I think I had a good time.
If I was there, I'd have been doing the same thing anyway.
Yeah, he had a good time.
You admit as hammered
the
as him, though.
And then the earth was shaking on him a little bit, I think.
He's having the DTs. Listen to the end of 366, man. You'll know how bad he was feeling.
I didn't hear the end of that one yet.
Oh, you gotta hear it.
Yeah, I'll have to put it back on. I didn't hear the end of it yet.
He's like, oh, I don't feel so good.
you got to back down, Joel. You got to back down, Joel.
Better. I'll turn my gain down. Probably too much gain.
That sounds good right there.
Single bond too,
yeah, because when you get loud,
somebody's
you suddenly
got some
go through.
Some kind of noise going on in the background, too.
Is that here?
That's Dan.
Yeah.
That's it, Dan.
You think it's me?
I do.
I'm on a cell phone.
Dan. Mute yourself,
no,
Dan.
I think it's when Dan muted, it went away.
It's like some
yep,
kind of swishing
you
noise. You know, like that.
It's a fan somewhere.
Yeah, it's gone now, right?
Right?
Yeah, I think he's in the laundry
right.
room.
No, I got I think you hear the server fan.
Yep,
so
yeah,
what I'll
that's
do,
what it is.
Let me see if I can reduce that.
We'll overload the server.
Is that better?
I don't hear it as much, no.
Would you put the cat up on top of it?
That's like, it was somewhere.
Yeah, but I stuffed the fan vents with the cat. Is that a lot better?
Meow. It's like the cat gun from Postal 2.
When and if my wife gets back.
So where in the hell is Facebook? Or is the phone numbers?
It's under the information.
Like, information.
Like if
tab,
you go to their page and click info. If you go to my page and click info.
Yep.
It will have my phone number there because I put it in the info.
Well, I thought there was like a page where. I thought
like
there was
Google.
A page with just like. Where you had all of your phone numbers for everybody you know.
Yeah.
No, it's just like under info.
There is, but you have to just look at all of your friends. And they if you look at the info for them, it should have it listed there.
Yeah, because I'm looking at links, but I don't see a phone number on there.
All the way down at the bottom, contact info.
No, I'm fucking blind.
A lot of people don't even know that it's on there. That other people can see it.
I'm fucking blind then, man.
What are you, what are you talking about? Contact info where?
Facebook.
All I have is information. It's you're married to Michelle, your birthday, and your current city.
It. Scroll all the way down the bottom.
I don't have it on mine.
You clicked that, you like, you went to my page, you clicked info tab at the, up at the top, and you scroll all the way down.
Oh, okay. Oh, okay. I'm sorry. I'm looking on the wall. That's why. I'm looking on the wall.
Yeah.
No.
Craigslist doesn't need a sex service. They're just putting Link's phone number right there on Facebook.
Dang.
Holy crap, that's the number I saw in that crappy bathroom. In Ohio.
Yeah, baby.
Yeah, I always thought there was a page where you could go and it would actually have all the people listed.
Alan, where's your review? Maybe I'll try and play it.
I put the link in the
It's on
Facebook on my phone.
I was going to say, it's YouTube/ TLLTS.
Dan, if you were in our special private room, you would see it.
Which I have to, like, actually get onto.
All right, repost it in there. I'll tell you what, it's still hot down here. Is it hot up there?
No, it's beautiful up here. Feels like the fall already.
I had the AC on in my room a little while ago, only because I don't have a window that opens up in here, because having the air conditioner
six,
in the window.
70 degrees outside.
Day 30, gentlemen.
Like 93.
Okay. Do we have any
day.
Notes or anything?
No. Our first half was to have Marcel Gagne on, and he's not here. So
upwards and onwards.
All right. Well, I will have something then shortly. One second.
Yes, I know. We're already a minute late on our first show.
Oh, well.
Here's a good song for tonight. Asshole Rocket.
I don't know. I got a bad feeling about
Lord.
That one.
How could you go wrong with something like that? Woo! It's got a picture of Joel flying on top of a rocket.
Nah, I'm not the one that got drunk, man.
Alright, let me kick this
Marcel
pig off.
Marcel, is he not making it tonight?
Who?
Marcel Gagne.
No, where have you been?
What?
wasn't it?
That's what we were talking about 10 minutes ago, Joel.
He never showed up.
Dig the taters out your ears, buddy.
I think he's as dead as Linux Journal.
Could be.
Alright. Everybody ready?
Do it.
Hit it.
Take it.
Five, four, three, two, one.